This is Radio Sputnik.
Broadcasting from Edinburgh, Scotland, you're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik
with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
It's 4 p.m. in London, 11 a.m. in Washington, Miami and New York, and 6 p.m. in Moscow. This is Radio Sputnik in Edinburgh. Coming up on today's programme, it's 30 days to go until the snap UK general election in June. And it's a day of mixed fortunes on the campaign trail, with Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party launching the official campaign in Manchester, whilst the opinion polls still show he has a mountain to climb if he wants to take on Theresa May's Conservatives. The head of Germany's armed forces has ordered that all barracks be searched after Nazi-era memorabilia was found in a garrison. The discovery was made at a barracks in Donau-Eschnischen in Germany's southwest, and it comes amid growing concerns about right-wing extremism among some of the country's soldiers. It's one of the least well-known aspects of World War II, but a commemoration taking place today near the Scottish village of Errol seeks to remember one of the most important aspects of Russian-British military cooperation throughout the entire conflict. And the UK TV personality Stephen Fry has been reported to Irish police under blasphemy laws for calling God stupid and an utter maniac. All that and more over the next hour on this Tuesday edition of World in Focus. Now, even the most ardent Labour Party supporter in the UK would be hard-pushed to call Jeremy Corbyn's general election campaign anything more than lacklustre so far. Today, though, the UK's main opposition party stepped up a gear with the official launch of its 2017 campaign in Manchester.
But it's about serving the many and not the few. It's about justice. It's about equality and fairness across our communities. This election is about transforming our society, making people's lives better in this country. We're the sixth richest economy in the world. I want no lectures of anybody telling us we haven't got the finances to look after those at the bottom.
If anyone was in any doubt of the UK Labour Party's move back towards the left and a more traditional campaigning style, the party's national elections coordinator, Ian Lavery, a former coal miner and president of the National Coal Miner Union's opening speech, harked back to the party's roots and signalled an energy as yet not too familiar to the Corbyn campaign thus far.
This movement, the Labour and the trade union movement, was born in struggle. They don't call it the struggle for nothing. And we understand the challenges ahead. Never forget the sacrifices that our predecessors made to deliver the institutions and freedoms we now enjoy. And remember, things can be different. It doesn't have to be this way. No one should be held back, and we leave no one behind.
Ian Lavery, the UK Labour Party's national elections coordinator, speaking at today's launch of his party's election campaign in Manchester. The choice to hold the event in Manchester wasn't all that mysterious, of course. Last week's UK-wide local elections didn't provide great results for Jeremy Corbyn's party. But one notable victory was that of Labour's Andy Burnham, who was elected as the first mayor of Greater Manchester on Friday. Burnham is, of course, one of Labour's big hitters, former health secretary under Gordon Brown in 2010, and he's even been tipped as a potential leader on more than one occasion. Anyway, on to the main course of this morning's big Labour Party launch, that being, of course, Jeremy Corbyn's speech, which we can hear some of the highlights from now, and he was introduced by the Coronation Street and Broadchurch star Julie Hesmondhall.
Please give a warm and riotous Manchester welcome to a man who has dedicated his life to giving a toss about other people, Jeremy Corbyn.
Thank you. Manchester shows the way in many, many things. One it showed last Thursday was by electing Andy Burnham as the mayor of Greater Manchester. Andy will be a great mayor. But just think how much more Andy will be able to achieve if he's working with a Labour government committed to the many, not the few. When we win, the people win. The nurse, the teacher, the small trader, the carer, the builder, the office worker, they all win. Labour is offering a real choice, a real alternative to the rigged system holding us back and to the Conservatives who are running our country down. The economy is still rigged in favour of the rich and powerful. When Labour wins, there'll be a reckoning for those who thought they could get away with assets stripping our industry, crashing our economy through their greed, and ripping off workers and consumers. When did the Conservatives, David Cameron, George Osborne, Theresa May, Boris Johnson, ever stand up to their financial backers and demand our money back? Instead, they make others foot the bill. They make our nurses, our carers, our soldiers, our disabled, our young people, trying to get a home of their own, our elderly, looking for dignity in retirement, and those working hard to get on. They make them foot the bill. This makes me angry, and I know what makes the people of Britain angry too. So, today, I say to tax cheats, the rip-off bosses and the greedy bankers, enough is enough. In this election, Labour is standing for decent jobs, investment for the future, shared wealth creation, security at work, affordable homes for all, and a fully funded National Health Service and schools. We have 4 weeks to show what kind of country we are. We know that the people of this country don't pass by on the other side. That is the principle we will take into government, so that we can unlock every person's potential and everyone can make their contribution, their best contribution to our society. We have 4 weeks to win and transform Britain for the many, not the few. We must seize that chance today and every day until June the 8th. Thank you very much.
Highlights there from the UK Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn's speech this morning, officially launching his party's election campaign in Manchester. So a passionate bid for votes there from Jeremy Corbyn, but 30 days out from the election, and how likely does a Labour victory now look? Well, nothing's impossible, but it's probably fair to say that if Jeremy Corbyn forms the next UK government on the 9th of June, it would be one of the most seismic turnarounds of fortune in the history of British politics. Current polling puts the Labour Party at anywhere between 18 and 22% behind Theresa May's Conservatives. And whilst Corbyn's vote share does seem to be increasing slowly, it will need a shot in the arm to overturn that Tory lead in such a short space of time. It is worth remembering, of course, that opinion polls have been pretty unreliable in recent years on UK politics. The last Conservative majority wasn't predicted, for example. Brexit too. And more specifically, on the subject of Jeremy Corbyn himself, when he first stood to become leader of his own party, he was the rank outsider, with bookmakers offering 200 to 1 odds. If Jeremy Corbyn is to win, or even draw even with Theresa May in June, he will need some serious momentum. Also on the campaign trail today, and also in the north of England, was the Conservative leader Prime Minister Theresa May, touting her slightly rebranded campaign with less emphasis on the party and more emphasis on her own personal leadership. The boards behind her now reading Theresa May's team. And her speech in York this afternoon reflects what is clearly a creeping fear in the party, not necessarily of a Labour majority, but of a Conservative minority, in which all of the opposition parties could come together to defeat the Tories.
The Liberal Democrats, the Scottish Nationalists and others are lining up to prop him up. And a Jeremy Corbyn-led coalition of chaos is a real possibility. We must not let that happen. A vote for any other party is a vote that puts Jeremy Corbyn closer to being at that Brexit negotiating table. As I say, we must not let that happen. And we must win support across the north of England and across the whole of the UK. What we must also do is actually expose the nonsensical policies that Jeremy Corbyn and Labour are putting forward at this election, because they simply do not add up. And apart from anything else, Labour would wreck the economy and it would render all of their promises totally undeliverable. Now, in contrast, we're putting forward credible, deliverable policies in the national interest.
UK Conservative leader and Prime Minister Theresa May speaking to supporters on the campaign trail in York this afternoon. So 30 days remain in this UK general election race, and this week marks two major events. Firstly, the Conservative rebranding, with less emphasis on strong and stable blah blah blah, and the party name, veering more towards an almost presidential campaign under Theresa May. And of course, today's official launch of Jeremy Corbyn Labour campaign. The question is, just how, if at all, will this all affect the polling, which is currently heavily in Theresa May's favour? For that, we'll have to wait a few days at least, but without a doubt, for opponents of Theresa May and opponents of the right and opponents of a so-called hard Brexit, time is slipping away. You're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik.
We are above all the latest developments and we don't take any sides. Radio Sputnik. Telling the untold.
Broadcasting from Edinburgh, Scotland, you're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik
with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
Coming up on the programme, the head of Germany's armed forces has ordered that all barracks be searched after Nazi-era memorabilia was found in a garrison. The discovery was made at a barracks in Donau-Eschnisnischen in Germany's southwest, and it comes amid growing concerns about right-wing extremism among some of the country's soldiers. We're back in a minute.
Radio Sputnik.
Can augmented reality technology become a threat to our privacy? Why did Google abandon its Google Glass project? Learn about the history of augmented reality from early 20th century science fiction novels to 1980s experiments with iTap devices to the virtual realms of modern Microsoft HoloLens headsets. All of that and more in our new series, Parallel Universes: How Augmented Reality is Changing People's Lives, this week on Radio Sputnik.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Ray Bradbury, the author of Fahrenheit 451, once wrote, "If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there's such a thing as war." Level Talk programme has been devised to offer two sides to any argument. We don't want to make up your mind for you, but we do want to be sure that you know both sides of any story. Tune in to Level Talk.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist,
troublemaker, and muckraker from bradblog.com.
Join me for the Bradcast. Every day, right here on Radio Sputnik, we'll have investigative interviews with newsmakers.
We'll call out the liars, frauds, and phonies, and we'll even give kudos to the good guys
when and if we find any. Stories and ideas you won't hear anywhere else. Join me, Brad Friedman, for the Bradcast, every day, right here on Radio Sputnik.
By any means necessary is your guide to the movement and efforts shaping the world around us, from mass incarceration.
No longer am I interested in or concerned with prison reform. I am interested only in the eradication of prisons.
To the battle between police and water protectors.
It was a pretty punishing disregard for the sanctity of human life that unleashing water cannons on peaceful, prayerful water protectors.
From efforts to protect the environment.
The climate movement is ready to, with plenty of opposition research and force and strength, along with, you know, the right of both science and morality to fight them on this.
To the movement for Black Lives.
When I first saw the Michael Brown video and I saw that it clearly contradicted the narrative put forth by the Ferguson Police Department and by police supporters in general, three words came to mind. Color me shocked.
Stay tuned to By Any Means Necessary, 5 days a week here on Radio Sputnik. Tune in to Loud and Clear with Brian Becker for the latest news, commentary, and political analysis. What's really behind the political and social crisis gripping the United States and the world? Forget the spoon-fed soundbites from the pundits who know so little about so much. We bring you independent experts, analysts, and activists. Learn what really makes the decision makers take from the boardrooms of Wall Street to the West Wing of the White House. Here is where the people fighting for change speak and are heard loud and clear. 5 days a week on Radio Sputnik and SputnikNews.com.
On Sputnik with Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert. Tune in!
Well, maybe mention like central bankers and you know, markets are doubling down. Not you're saying everybody's doubling down. They're crazy.
They are. Everyone's crazy.
Hard Facts is a show that gets to the heart of the matter. We question the mainstream media narrative to get to the truth about world affairs.
I don't think they have a clue what they're doing in Syria.
Basically, it's the sixth attempt by the big powers to overthrow a Middle East government.
Whether it is regime change, masked as revolution, imperialism masked as democracy and human rights. On Hard Facts, we peel back the layers to get to the real story other media doesn't want you to hear.
Absolutely astonishing the British government reacted to this case simply by lying.
Hard Facts.
What do the Statue of Liberty, Hollywood horror movie, and a tiny spectrographic sensor have in common? They were all crowdfunded. And while the Lady Enlightening the World has been a complete project for quite a while now, you can still help other great causes. Listen to our new series, Crowdfunding with All Our Powers Combined, right here on Radio Sputnik.
Catch all the breaking global political and economic news as it happens. Sputnik brings an all-star lineup with expert opinion from some of the biggest names in the news today. Noam Chomsky.
Turkey, U.S. ally, their main goal is to attack the Kurds, the one ground force opposing ISIS. And there have been a kind of a funnel for support of ISIS, not officially, but in practice.
Peter Sunde, co-founder of the Pirate Bay.
We don't have any sort of democratic control over the internet. And I think that we're very naive when we think that the internet itself is intrinsically good. It's not. It's just a very neutral technology that is being used for good things, but more and more being used for evil things.
Icelandic Foreign Minister Gunnar Bragi Sveinsson.
We increase activities in the Keflavik Air Base, and that has to do with more activities from the Russian Northern Fleet in the ocean around Iceland, and also, of course, these usual flights of the bombers.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
We're the ones that destroyed the government of Libya. We're the ones in a pipeline dispute that helped destroy the government of Bashar al-Assad in Syria. We're the ones who invaded Iraq.
Former U.S. Secretary of Defense William Perry.
The hostile relationship between the United States and Russia today is dangerous for both countries, not because either country would actually want to start a military conflict, but because there's always a danger of blundering.
Sputnik talks to the brightest minds in politics and current affairs to find out what's really happening. Tune in. Radio Sputnik. We speak your language. Find us at SputnikNews.com.
Broadcasting from Edinburgh, Scotland, you're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik
with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
Welcome back. Still to come on today's programme, the head of Germany's armed forces has ordered that all barracks be searched after Nazi-era memorabilia was found in a garrison. The discovery was made at a barracks in Donau-Eschnischen in Germany's southwest, and it comes amid growing concerns about right-wing extremism among some of the country's soldiers. It's one of the least well-known aspects of World War II, but a commemoration taking place today near the Scottish village of Errol seeks to remember one of the most important aspects of Russian-British military cooperation of the entire conflict. And the UK TV personality Stephen Fry has been reported to Irish police under blasphemy laws for calling God stupid and an utter maniac. You are listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik. It's just gone 20 minutes past the hour. Amid growing concerns regarding right-wing extremism amongst European soldiers, the head of Germany's armed forces has ordered that all German barracks are to be searched. Over now to Sputnik's Alexander South for more details.
After the discovery of Nazi-era memorabilia found in a German garrison's barracks, the head of Germany's armed forces has ordered that all German barracks are to be searched. It comes amid growing concerns about right-wing extremism amongst European soldiers. The issue of Nazi materials among armed forces is not restricted to Germany, with both the UK and US military personnel also having similar issues in the past. So how widespread is this problem amongst NATO forces? Joined with me now to explore this question is Professor Eric Hines, Professor of Law and Humanities at Queen Mary University of London. Hello, Professor Hines.
Hello.
Firstly, how surprised are you, given the real sensitivities in Germany, that this discovery of Nazi-era memorabilia has been found?
It's certainly not surprising. It's not new. It's happened in the past. As far as I can tell, it's not very widespread, either in Germany or elsewhere in NATO. The problem is not that it's widespread, but that even when it happens to a small extent, that creates great concern, particularly in a country like Germany, which is very concerned about its past and the way its population understands its past.
What are the possible sanctions for members of German armed forces found this kind of material, given it is obviously illegal to display overtly Nazi symbols in Germany?
Generally speaking, disciplinary action would be harsh. Would be serious. These things would be taken seriously. I mean, I have not noticed that there's a general pattern. These sorts of incidents tend to be, again, there are not many of them. They tend to be very specific, very case by case. It depends exactly the nature of the material that's found. It depends on the extent of involvement of other people. Are we talking simply about lone individuals? Are we talking about networks? Generally speaking, the disciplinary action will be roughly proportionate to the gravity of what's found. How long has it been going on? How many people are involved? What's the nature of the materials? And so forth. So I'm not aware that one could easily find a pattern. That would be more the case if this were something happening on a regular basis. I think what we're finding now is above all an effort to intervene before any such activity would ever spread.
Obviously, Germany isn't the only country whose armed forces have been photographed or found or discovered with this kind of material. We've seen examples amongst British forces and US military forces. What attracts some members of the armed forces to collect and in some cases glorify such material?
First thing is that this is certainly not a problem particularly to NATO. This is something we find in armed forces throughout the world. And what attracts often young men is a certain image of military life. It's discipline, it's organization, and whatever fantasies they may have about militarism generally. Again, this has been found in many, many places. I'm sure you know in Russia and Eastern Europe, this is as much, if not more, of a problem. But certainly in NATO, as far as I'm aware, it's not widespread and it's taken very seriously.
Okay, so looking beyond the barracks now, is there any evidence of an underground culture in Germany of collecting these types of material despite the laws in place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It clearly goes on. It's difficult to control, of course, when it takes place simply within the privacy of people's homes or when it's taking place on the internet, for example. Where German law particularly intervenes where there are public displays. That is, there the law is quite clear. But what people do in the privacy of their own homes, again, that's not particularly a problem in Germany. It's throughout the world now. Again, we're seeing increases in extremist activity and extremist thought precisely because of the greater accessibility of extremist materials through social media, through the internet. So of course it's worrying, and I think a lot of efforts are underway in order to deal with it. For example, dealing with internet service providers.
On occasions, we've seen symbolism used by musicians and other cultural figures. How offended are Germans and the German mainstream society when they see such depictions of Nazi memorabilia in other countries?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, insofar as we can talk about a kind of mainstream German media and mainstream opinion, mainstream political opinion as well, the condemnation is unqualified. I mean, here we can find countless examples in the German press, both center-left and center-right, where these sorts of displays are very harshly condemned, and particularly the risk of trivialization, particularly as the Holocaust and World War II recede further into memory. I think there's a great concern now that forthcoming generations are not getting good information, that education is not always at the level that it should be.
Finally, is this a worry that this problem could escalate in the future?
As I said before, because of the greater ease with which groups can talk to each other, the greater accessibility of materials through social media, through the internet, governments and international organizations are certainly concerned. And I mean, certainly in Europe, bodies of the European Union and the Council of Europe have been actively undertaking investigations and looking at measures to remain better informed and to somehow counter the possible disastrous effects of too much access to extremist materials.
Professor Eric Hines, Professor of Law and Humanities at Queen Mary University of London, thank you. Alexander South, Sputnik News, signing off.
Tough questions are the most powerful weapon we have. As long as you have questions, we'll keep asking. Radio Sputnik. Telling the untold.
Ever wondered what's at the root of the best creative collaborations? New York City graffiti artists, Hollywood movie directors, famous writers and their students reveal their secrets. You'll discover why the Coen brothers edit their own movies, putting a made-up editor's name into the credits, and how Edward Snowden teamed up with Jean-Michel Jarre to warn the audience about the dangers of mass surveillance in a fast-paced techno music video. Listen to our new series, Creating Together, The Art of Collaboration, this week on Radio Sputnik.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Ray Bradbury, the author of Fahrenheit 451, once wrote, "If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there's such a thing as war." Level Talk program has been devised to offer two sides to any argument. We don't want to make up your mind for you, but we do want to be sure that you know both sides of any story. Tune in to Level Talk.
We are above all the latest developments, and we don't take any sides. Radio Sputnik, telling the untold.
You're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik. Now, a commemoration taking place near a small Scottish village today sought to remember one of the least well-known but strategically important aspects of cooperation between Britain and the former Soviet Union. Relatives and officials of Soviet air crews who trained with British airmen in a joint effort which helped keep the Red Army in the war against Nazi Germany pay tribute today to their courage and bravery. And our reporter Mark Hurst was there to observe the ceremony.
With few obvious signs of its vital wartime role in supporting the might of the Red Army. An anthem about the Soviet Air Force from the period. From the start of 1943 right through to April 1944, over 2,000 military personnel from numerous Allied countries trained here, united in the fight against Nazi Germany. One specific group of airmen came from the Moscow Special Air Group. They arrived at this Scottish airfield, eager to be trained on the British-made twin-engined Albemarle transport aircraft. A secret deal between the Soviet Union and Britain agreed to supply 100 of these aircraft to Russia to enable the Soviet army to supply their frontline troops and assist in rapid troop deployment along the front with the German army. It was a daring and courageous mission that helped keep the USSR in the fight against the Nazis. Today, to mark Victory Day, relatives of those brave Soviet aircrews have travelled to Erl to take part in this special commemoration. They are joined by local officials and representatives of the Russian Federation. Mr. Andrei Pretsepilov, the Russian Consul General, is in attendance along with Brigadier Jameson, the Lord Lieutenant of Perthshire. And as you can hear, a piper has started to play.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I now introduce the Consul General, Andrei Pretsepilov.
This is already is a good tradition that we gather together on the 9th of May to pay tribute and celebrate the lives of the brave pilots who were training here and then fighting behind the enemy lines during the war.
Well, joining me now is Anna Belorozova, whose grandfather, Peter Kolznikov, was one of the pilots who trained here during that difficult time of the war. Anna, your research has helped transform the understanding and knowledge of this previously forgotten period. Tell me about the role your grandfather played during the war and his time here.
I am the granddaughter of pilot commander, hero pilot Peter Kolesnikov, who came here in March 1943 to Erl, and he was part of the Russian Air Unit, which was specially formed within the Royal Air Force in order to train Soviet pilots to fly Albemarle aircraft, which was donated to the Soviet Union by the British government.
And how important was this mission in terms of the cooperation between Britain and Russia at the time?
It was extremely important because it was just the beginning when our two governments were moving towards each other. It was just the very beginning of the Allied cooperation. First step was the flight of Molotov, as you know, in May 1942, and it was a heavy bomber TB-7 which flew Molotov. And 1 year later, in March 1943, the same pilot, Andel Pusep, and the same aircraft flew a group of Russian pilots, including my grandfather. And from there, the whole Allied cooperation started to develop very fast. I knew nothing about this top-secret mission, as all the families of the airmen, and very few of them I managed to trace so far, because it was very top-secret, and all we had at home was a Christmas menu, grammar books with an inscription on the front page which said, "Good luck and hope you come back under better circumstances. Britain and Russia V for victory." And for many, many years, I was trying to put together the whole puzzle when I was coming to London. But it never occurred to me that it was actually in Scotland. And the first key I found at the National Archive in London when I opened the records of the unit, the 305 unit, which has been already mentioned. And suddenly I saw the name of my grandfather, Peter Kolesnikov. Then I came here to Scotland and I met Bradley Boland, who showed me around the airdrome. And there were just some remains of the old buildings and hangars, but still the key was missing. Another key was missing. And then there was a lady at the Dundee Library. Her name is Eileen Moran. When I came there, she managed to unearth an old cutting of 1985, showing the photographs, three photographs. And my grandfather was there. And so there were various keys which I finally put together. And now, after that, I spent 2 years working in the archives of Moscow and St. Petersburg. And I also found a fantastic document, which is the report of the commander of the unit, where he, Royal Air Force through the eyes of a Russian airman, where he in great detail narrates about the aerodrome, about relationships, and he's writing everything. It is amazing. It was a very official report given to the high command in Moscow, but he's writing with such great respect. And so there's so much respect and warmth there. He was referring, for instance, how they treat each other with great respect, and they have respect to the job of each other at the Royal Air Force, etc., etc. And eventually, I put everything together. I published a series of articles in Parliament Gazette, which is one of the major Russian newspapers. And now I've just finished the book. The book got a grant of the Russian Historical Society and will be out in Moscow this autumn. And I'm telling the whole story there, starting from the Second World War, which is basically this air group was sent by the high command to the most important missions. And it's a kind of a digest of the Second World War, which not so many people of the younger generation, my generation, know much about. And it's a and then I tell a lot about Britain. Also, I had an amazing experience a couple of months ago. I was contacted by a family of the descendants of Peter Petrovichev, and they had a photograph at home showing Soviet and Russian airmen somewhere. And when I saw it, I just couldn't believe my eyes, because it was exactly the same photograph which led me here in the very beginning. But I didn't know who was in the middle, but it was the ancestor of Peter Petrovichev.
He joins us now.
Valery, who is joining us, and this is the son of Peter Petrovichev, Valery, an airman in the second generation.
And Valery spoke during the ceremony that we've had here, the very emotional ceremony. Can you tell me a little bit about what he said?
Valery said very important things, that the traditions alive are still alive. He is the airman in the second generation, and he worked in Vnukovo, which was the base of this air group during the Second World War. And his son is an airman in the third generation. He is also based in Vnukovo. And it is very important that the tradition is still alive. And it is so moving for him that he is finally standing here on this very airfield, as he didn't know anything about the place where his father was during the war. He was showing that photograph, he told me, on his trips to England to various people, and it was like looking for a needle in a haystack, and finally he's here. So
how important is it for him to be here today, for example?
It's so emotional, because it is very special for me, because I'm no longer alone. We're a team now, and our team is growing, team of descendants, because the whole thing which you see here today is People's Initiative, which is the most important, Scottish people and Russian people. And this is a pure, we have no official structures, nothing telling us to come here. So we just came here to pay respect to our ancestors, to our fathers and grandfathers.
And this has been quite a big turnout today. Are you surprised that the more people are getting to know about this story?
It's incredible, because it is only third year, and we are gathered by, we have a gathering of most distinguished people of Scotland, so it's just who and who lives. And also, we have a long program today. At the end of the day, after visiting the Air Club, we will go to Fernand Village, where one of the planes crashed with an amazing man. He was a hero of the USSR, who was given this title, you know, the top military award. The first in Moscow Air Group. His name was Alexander Gruzdin, and he was the pioneer of flying to partisan woods and to deep enemy rear. And he and two other crew members, Alexeyev and Ramin, amazing heroes, they sadly crashed, and they managed to save the village. And we will lay a wreath there with their photograph for the first time, and now we know where they were killed.
Well, Anna and Valery, many thanks for speaking to us today on Radio Sputnik. Now the lament for the fallen of the Second World War is played in honour of all those who sacrificed their lives, including the Soviet airmen who trained here and took those aircraft back to the USSR. and helped keep the Soviet Union in the war and the ultimate defeat of Nazi Germany.
Want to talk? Get in touch with us at radio@sputniknews.com.
Broadcasting from Edinburgh, Scotland, you're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik
with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
Coming up on the programme, the UK TV personality Stephen Fry has been reported to Irish police under blasphemy laws for calling God stupid and an utter maniac.
Radio Sputnik.
Every day we ask questions.
Were you not surprised that somebody executed Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr?
Well, do you see this as being a human rights violation?
Are the cows really stinking up the planet that much?
To move ideas forward.
A gravitational wave is a ripple in the fabric of space and time.
I don't think the launch of the satellite proves anything at all.
Where do good ideas come from? We connect with independent thinkers, hear their ideas, and create stimulating debates on real issues.
The Dow is in a correction. As I said, commodities across the globe are collapsing. Why is that the case? Because we are in a global recession.
That is set to change because Iran has approximately about 50 million barrels, which it had put in storage during the height of the sanctions regime, and that's ready to be released as soon as possible.
Where is the money?
The super rich individuals and the world's biggest companies are able to hide money in tax havens.
Is there a solution to the crisis?
No, because I don't think anything useful has come out of any of the policy reform discussions with respect to financial reform.
They give us answers we aren't always prepared for.
This recession will be even worse than it was in 2008.
But that would be the nasty way for it to happen, you know.
But because of Guantanamo, the U.S. is no longer taking so many prisoners. So instead of taking prisoners, they kill people.
They aren't always prepared to answer.
What are the exact technicalities of this offer by the European Union to Turkey, Jim?
I just love the way you ask that question. What are the technicalities of an EU offer? The answer is, of course, a classic EU fudge.
Well, I'm a diplomat, Jim, you know that.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Abigdor. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm smiling.
How are you?
Thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure talking to you as well.
Hello, Abigdor. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello. Although the views which I express are not necessarily the views of the editors, but one thing you will agree with me.
You know, with that said, we've had our fun, I guess. Is it time to get serious?
So you think we really should take this warning 100% seriously?
Welcome to the party.
Hard Facts is a show that gets to the heart of the matter. We question the mainstream media narrative to get to the truth about world affairs.
I don't think they have a clue what they're doing in Syria.
Basically, it's the sixth attempt by the big powers to overthrow a Middle East government.
Whether it is regime change, masked as revolution, imperialism masked as democracy and human rights, on Hard Facts, we peel back the layers to get to the real story other media doesn't want you to hear.
Absolutely astonishing the British government reacted to this case simply by lying.
Hard Facts.
We're all doing together, you ready? Are you ready? Max and Stacey together having oral sex. Here we go. 3, 2. Hi, Stacey.
Double down, double down.
I'm doubling down with you, baby.
Double down.
We got a new show on Sputnik.
It's markets, finance, business, economics, ka-ching, bling, and...
all kinds of good stuff. Only on Sputnik with Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert. Doubling down.
Tune in to Loud and Clear with Brian Becker for the latest news, commentary, and political analysis. What's really behind the political and social crisis gripping the United States and the world? Forget the spoon-fed soundbites from the pundits who know so little about so much. We bring you independent experts, analysts, and activists. Learn what really makes the decision-makers take from the boardrooms of Wall Street to the West Wing of the White House. Here is where the people fighting for change speak and are heard loud and clear. 5 days a week on Radio Sputnik and SputnikNews.com.
Mainstream news coverage catches the big moments.
60 people confirmed dead.
Brexit means Brexit.
We will make America great again.
But what about the stories behind the stories?
The untold stories hidden beneath the mainstream.
Several hundred guys on voluntary starvation.
Intelligence agencies cannot admit they make a mistake.
If they send me back, I will be killed myself.
Sputnik's daily global current affairs programme, World in Focus, with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
Join us live from Sputnik Studios in Edinburgh, Scotland, every weekday from 4 p.m. in the UK, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 7 o'clock in Moscow.
On Sputnik with Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert, tune in!
Well, maybe mention like central bankers and you know, markets are doubling down. Not, you're saying everybody's doubling down, they're crazy.
They are! Everyone's crazy!
If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Learn more about modern Bitcoin Ponzi schemes, the evolution of Nigerian money emails, and the false promises behind the happy, skinny, sexy pills. See how Big Pharma is bribing your doctor with cash and even fishing trips so he could possibly prescribe you with more drugs.
Discover what timeshares are and lottery fraud and how not to get swindled out of your hard-earned money.
Listen to our new series, Caveat Emptor, Scammers Gonna Scam.
This week on Radio Sputnik.
From June 1st to June 3rd, political leaders, top experts, and prominent businessmen from all across the globe are meeting at St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Join them in a discussion on relevant topics concerning new economic reality, geopolitics to cybersecurity, roughly 100 business events, roundtables and discussions, business breakfasts, and insightful lectures, all this and more at SPIEF 2017. Don't miss out. More details on forumsbb.com.
Capitalism is going through a spasm caused by its own generation of technologies that undermine itself.
How can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer?
We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Ray Bradbury, the author of Fahrenheit 451, once wrote, "If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one, better yet, give him none. Let him forget there's such a thing as war." Level Talk program has been devised to offer two sides to any argument. We don't want to make up your mind for you, but we do want to be sure that you know both sides of any story. Tune in to Level Talk.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist,
troublemaker, and muckraker from bradblog.com.
Join me for the Bradcast. Every day, right here on Radio Sputnik, we'll have investigative interviews with newsmakers.
We'll call out the liars, frauds, and phonies, and we'll even give kudos to the good guys
when and if we find any. Stories and ideas you won't hear anywhere else. Join me, Brad Friedman, for the Bradcast. Every day, right here on Radio Sputnik.
Radio Sputnik.
Broadcasting from Edinburgh, Scotland, you're listening to World in Focus on Radio Sputnik
with Jack Foster and Carolyn Scott.
Coming up on the programme, the UK TV personality Stephen Fry has been reported to Irish police under blasphemy laws for calling God stupid and an utter maniac. This is World in Focus on Radio Sputnik. And finally, when you hear about blasphemy charges being brought against a TV personality, you might think I'm referring to Iran or Saudi Arabia or perhaps some fresh new law from the pen of US President Trump. But no, I am in fact talking about Ireland. The TV personality in question is Stephen Fry, the comedian, actor, QI host, and more recently Sherlock Holmes narrator. He's also a well-known humanist and atheist. And a couple of years ago, he said this on Irish broadcaster RTE's The Meaning of Life in conversation with host Gay Byrne.
You walk up to the pearly gates and you are confronted by God. What will Stephen Fry say to him, her, or it?
I will basically
known as the Odyssey, I think. I'll say bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain? Because the God who created this universe, if it was created by God, is quite clearly a maniac. Utter maniac. Totally selfish.
That was Stephen Fry talking to Gay Byrne, host of RTE's The Meaning of Life, back in 2015. A whole 2 years later, and a complaint was apparently made to Irish police under blasphemy laws, which is still technically on the statute books in the Republic of Ireland, although it only applies to Christianity, and was last prosecuted in 1855. Irish police have since dropped the investigation on the grounds that no injured parties came forward, but this is likely to shed light once again on the as-yet-only promised prospect of a referendum on removing the offence of blasphemy. For now, though, Stephen Fry can rest easy in the knowledge that no charges were brought, thanks only to a simple lack of moral outrage. And that's all we have time for on this edition of World in Focus. Don't forget you can listen again to this and to previous shows at SputnikNews.com. Now, we're going to be ending the show a little earlier than normal tonight to make way for a special programme dedicated to the 72nd anniversary of the fall of Nazi Germany. So just before we go to that, it just remains for me to say, until tomorrow, from me, Jack Foster, and everyone here at World in Focus, goodbye.
Radio Sputnik presents a special V-Day programme timed to the 72nd anniversary of the Allied victory over Nazi Germany. A minute of silence.
On May 9th, Russia is marking the anniversary of the Allied victory over Nazi Germany. The world paid a terrible price for that momentous triumph. Millions of soldiers, the Nazi leaders pitted against one another, and even more innocent civilians whose lives were snuffed out by bombs, diseases, famine, and slave labor. In more than 14,000 death camps the Nazis had set up in Germany and on the territories of occupied European countries. 18 million people, including 5 million Soviet citizens, went through the hellish atmosphere of pain and carnage that reigned there. Adolf Hitler's ghastly war machine finally ground to a halt and was crushed by millions of soldiers of different nationalities from all across the Soviet Union, which lost 27 million of its sons and daughters to defend this country and liberate many Nazi-occupied European nations. We will never forget the hefty contribution made to our common victory by our allies, the United States, Great Britain, France, and about 50 other countries, members of the anti-Hitler coalition. Today, we're honoring the war veterans and remembering all soldiers and civilians who perished in the bloodiest war ever fought by man.
Traditionally, on May the 9th, all central TV channels show the eternal flame at Russia's main war memorial, the monument to the unknown soldier near the Kremlin Wall.
The eternal flame that neither winds, nor rain, nor time will ever put out. A living symbol of perpetual memory, homage, and recognition. A tribute from the living to the dead. This flame, embodying our deepest sorrow and love, is shining over the names of fallen heroes.
You won't find a single family in Russia that wasn't affected by the war. This day we're honoring our defenders, army servicemen and guerrillas who sacrificed their lives on the front line and those who labored tirelessly on the home front, bringing victory nearer day by day. Today our hearts are filled with endless gratitude to those who didn't return from that war. Prayers for war victims are being said in all churches throughout the country, in the languages of all nationalities inhabiting Russia. May God rest the souls of his fallen servants who spilled their blood and lost their lives on the battlefield in eternal peace. May they live eternally in God's kingdom and forever in our memory.
A minute of silence begins. The country is paying homage to those who put their lives on the altar of victory.